After that, praise the Lord, though. Glory Land looking better all the time, though, isn't it? If you got your Bible this morning, I want you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50. Now, I want to speak to you from the Word of God this morning upon the subject of the idea when God overrules man. When God overrules man. Genesis chapter 50. I'll do a little rambling this morning and back it up and sharing about some things that's happening in the heart and life of these individuals as they deal with the things that's happening and their lives. They begin to reflect on things a little different. I want you to get this picture in your mind for me as we begin to think about Joseph. He's a 17-year-old young man. He's got the world by the tail. And the fact that later in life, after his mother and father had all the other kids and they were grown and gone, here comes Joseph alone. And as he comes along, being like a lot of other families, especially larger families, as sons and daughters marry off or leave home or wherever, and the number gets less and less and less, and you get down to the baby like me, you oftentimes, you know, mom and dad are more able to do for you than they could when the whole bunch was at the house. You know what I'm talking about. How things was. And, you know, mine was so good to me, I just stayed. You know, they couldn't run me off. You know? I just think about leaving them chicken and dumplings and stuff and just getting them on Christmas and New Year's or sometime. No, that wasn't good enough. You know, I had to be around pretty often. But Joseph is, I'll agree, he's a spoiled brat probably. And his parents did for him things they couldn't do for others, you know. And he probably had his own camel. And he got him a special, we call it cars today, you know. Y'all get that after a while, you know. His parents built him a coat of many colors. Now, I thought about that. When I say many colors, you know what I was thinking about? You had red, yellow, black, blue, you know, all those different colors and stuff, things, you know. But a coat or a cloaking in their day and time had many, many meanings to it. And it was used, yes, for warmth. He could roll up his possessions in it when they were nomads and they was moving the sheep and stuff from place to place. And on the list of things went that the coat was good for other than just for dress. But I'm sure mom had made each one of the other boys a coat. But his was special because it had all these different decorations on it. And when those boys looked at it, they said, I'd love to take him down a little notch or two, you know. You know what I'm talking about. Yesterday we had the occasion, our family, on my daddy's side, for the first time since all of our parents, mothers and fathers, had died of daddy's family. We got together. We've been trying to do it for a while, and nothing seemed to work out until finally we put it together yesterday. A lot of work, but it was worth every bit of it. And I was anxious. I didn't know how things were going to work. I didn't know if some of those Johnny Two Goods was going to be too good to come, you know. But guess what? They surprised me. Every one of them that could possibly make it, made it. We had a wonderful, wonderful day. Opportunity to share and reflect and see kids and grandkids of other dead sisters and brothers come together and have that time of fellowship together. And I was thinking within myself as we dealt with this yesterday, and then last night as they drove back to their different places across two or three states. Probably some of them are on the road this morning back home. I began to get messages from them, thanking Kim and myself for helping to put it together and the fellowship we had. And, you know, every one of them said, let's do it again. Let's do it again. What were they saying? You know, we've been missing something. We've been missing something. See, didn't realize what they was missing until they had it. You and I don't miss what we have sometimes until we have an opportunity to have it, and then it's gone in our lives. Who knows, if we did it again, how many of us might still be there to celebrate another year or 2 years down the road. Think about Joseph. What did his brothers do to him? Here he come. Boy, he's tickled to death in his cloak of many colors, you know, and he struts his stuff. Looking across that desert from where they were mining them sheep, they saw him coming. And why was it easy for him to recognize him from anybody else? What was he wearing? That coat of many colors, wasn't it? They said, there comes that. This is our opportunity. Let's kill him. Let's kill him. Well, he had one brother, Reuben, that had a heart. The others didn't, you know. And they talked him into putting him in the well. And then those gypsies come by and they say, well, ain't no use to kill him, we'll sell him. They sold him into slavery to those gypsies, and they took him down to Egypt and sold him into the potter's house down there. And as things progressed, their feelings toward him grew and grew and grew and grew until they was finally rid of him. And their hearts and their lives, they thought. Until, and a long story short, God provided a way to reveal his will in their lives. Many things happen to us that we don't understand. Of course, we wonder why. We think within ourselves. But could Joseph really forgive his brothers for what they did to him? You know, if you went over that period of a long period of time, 93 years, he was down there in Egyptian bondage, a slave to Pharaoh. He worked his way up, and through the dreams and stuff that God revealed to him, and he was able to accomplish in the time that he was down there. He come the number two man in the land, nobody but Pharaoh over him. He told of the dream of the feast and the famine. For 7 years, the king put him out there, and he stored up food and stored up food and built barns and put in more and stuff, because only Joseph knew there's going to be a famine in the land. Now, I wonder in my life and your life, have we done any storing up? Have we done any preparation for a famine that may come our way? That famine may not necessarily mean in corn or wheat or barley, flour, sugar, or coffee in our lives. That famine may come in the form of our health, may come in the form of a death. It may come in the form of all things in our lives. But what have we got prepared for those tough years? Here, when he interpreted to Pharaoh what was going to happen. There's going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And the people is going to come from all over the world to Egypt to buy this grain and food that they needed, carry it back. Guess who come calling one day? As Joseph was sitting up there on his chair overseeing the selling of the grain and stuff down below, he said, well, I want you to look coming out. Look at that. Them boys is his brothers. They didn't recognize him, but he recognized them. You know, sometimes in our lives we may not recognize God, but he doesn't ever not recognize us. He's got his eye on us, our hearts and our lives. And he begins to deal with them, and finally he sells them some grain. They take it back, and they come back for more, and he asks about his father, and then he tricks them into getting all down to the family. And finally he brings his dad, that Jacob that he loves so much. And for 17 good years, he had him right there with him until his father died. He asked permission of Pharaoh to carry him and bury him. He allowed it. That all took place. But what about these boys? They're antsy. They're wondering. Their hearts searching for the idea, what's going to happen now? He didn't mess with us for 17 years because Daddy was here. They didn't want to do anything that was going to cause Daddy a heartache. But Daddy's gone. It's just Joseph and us. What are we going to do? Look at verse 15 with me. Chapter 50, Genesis. When Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure or perhaps hate us, and will certainly requite us or repay us all the evil which we did to him. Daddy's gone. Nobody to look out and run defense for him. Now they're going to have to face what the evil had done to their brother on their own. And they know they're guilty. They've had time to look and see. What could Joseph have done in all those 17 years if he had wanted to? He could have done what many of us say when somebody does us wrong. What's our motto? I don't get mad, I get what? Even. That's right. You think God's pleased with that, you know? After, if he'd got mad every time somebody done him evil, where would you and I be today? Now listen to what they said here. They come up and they had them a brotherly little family get together, and they had a meeting there, and they said, what are we going to do? Verse 16 gives us the answer. They sent a messenger to Joseph. You go tell Joseph that before your father died, your father did command before then to say this, so shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee, now the trespass of thy brethren and their sins. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy fathers. And Joseph wept when they spoke unto him. Joseph, before your father died, he said that we needed to ask for forgiveness. Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespasses of thy brother and thy sins. I wonder in my life and your life, you know, I didn't know what to expect yesterday. Folks come in that I hadn't seen since they were children. didn't know what to expect. I knew there's a few rotten eggs out there, you know, and I didn't know how they was going to be. Y'all laugh at me if you want to. Y'all got some of y'all's buds, too. I know what you're talking about. Not knowing what to expect. But I'm telling you, it was a blessing like nobody ever saw. The love. If you'd have told me one of my cousins was going to hug my neck, I'd have told you you're crazy, you know. But that old big bear grabbed me, and he hugged me before he left from there. And he said, this has been a great day. I have enjoyed it. I'm just so proud, you know. Part of the reason we put off things is why? We don't want to face them, or we're mad at them, or we got a problem, or we got all these things. What did he say? Forgive them. They did unto the evil. Forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy Father. What old Joseph did? He broke down and went to cry. He wept. Because through all that evil, and for 93 years, he's about to pass away. Finally, after all that time, there comes time for what? Forgiveness. When he's coming down to the end of the rope, folks, when you and I are in a position in our hearts and our lives, is it worth it for us not to want revenge in our hearts and our lives? There's a little note in my Bible that said this, and I wrote it down and I want it in my study Bible. Said, what matters is not so much the events or the circumstances of life, but your response to them. We were up there putting the chairs and table back in the back. One of my good supporters and friends of mine pulled up. Reagan was with me. God love her. She bit her tongue. Thank you, Reagan. He began to tell her what a fine feller I was in his description, and it wasn't a good description. She said, Daddy, I had to bite my tongue. I said, yeah, and I was sitting on my hands, too. People, what matters most is what? What happens on the other side, isn't it? Now, follow him a little closer here. Said his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. We'll be a slave to you. We owe you. Joseph said unto them in verse 19, fear not, for am I in the place of God. You know what? A lot of us have trouble trying to do God's job for him. What do you mean, Brother Larry? What did God tell us in his word? Vengeance is whose? The Lord. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You know? But we want to help him out, don't we? Because he don't move as fast as we want to move sometimes. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God. But as for you, listen to this close. As for you, you thought evil against me. But what did God do with it? But God turned it unto good. You thought evil, but God meant it for good. Way back to he was 17 years old, what happened? God had a plan, didn't he? He didn't come into the world by accident late in life. God created him in his mother's womb. He had a plan and a purpose that he wanted for him in his womb, in his life. And Joseph began to live out that time in his life. to accomplish. But ain't you glad that God didn't put a mean spirit in him? But God put an obedient spirit in him. And what he was doing and how he was doing. The only problem that he had at 17 was he had a little bit too much pride. Look at me. I got me a coat of many colors. I got my own camel. I can do this. I can do that. I imagine he had his own everything, you know. Kind of pouring a little salt in the wound of them brothers over there, don't you imagine? Agitating them. What about us? Is anybody out there you got your pistol cocked for? If you ever get the opportunity, I'll do what? Get even, won't I? Now you're going to try to do God's job for him. Let it go. Life's too short. We're here, as the scripture says, but as a vapor. Here today and gone tomorrow. The thing in our hearts and our lives is that what you and I may think somebody was being mean to us, he's being evil to us, he's mistreating us, he's not doing right with us, whatever our reason is, it may be in that situation. God may be teaching us something. And I like what Joseph told him. Boys, brothers, what you intended for evil, God turned it to good. What good came out of that? For the biggest portion of that 93 year, he spent some time in jail because Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him and she lied about him and threw him in prison, but they had a dream down there and all those, just roll after roll after roll for 93 years. I'm 73, you know. And I can see God working in different areas, accomplishing different things. And man, yesterday was a wake-up call for me, you know. Regardless of what I'm harboring up here in this old head or here in this heart, you know. Life's too short for that. Life's too short. And what's happening concerning that? But you know, God brought good from his old brother's evil ways. Little quotation in my devotion. I was reading it this morning, said this: yesterdays can never be altered, but your reactions to yesterday can be. The past you cannot change, but your response to your past can. How you handle what life gives you, it's going to say volumes about who you are in your heart and your life. He said, what you intended, God intended for good. What you intended for evil. But he closed it out by saying this in verse 21. Now, therefore, fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Mean old me, the bad side of me, would have said, all right, boys, I'll accept your forgiveness and you can be my slaves. Y'all go down yonder in that hog pen and you take care of them hogs. I'd have given them the meanest and dirtiest and nastiest job I had on the mean side. But Joseph didn't do that. What did he do? He forgave them, didn't he? What about us? Life's too short for us to spend it harboring up ill feelings in our hearts. But Brother Larry, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know how my wife treated me. You don't know how I met, you know. Hogwash. It don't matter. Don't matter. Life's too short to be holding the evil feeling here. And I say that to say this to you. It's robbing you, folks. It's robbing you of blessings that God wants to bless you. with in your heart and your life. Would you pray with me? A few moments, Brother Ernie comes and he'll lead us in a verse of invitation. Is there a need in your heart? Are you harboring up something that's just like a cancer, it's eating away at you? Slowly but surely taking the joy of your salvation from you? Are you trying to do God's job and pay back evil that's been done to you? Let God handle it. He'll take care of it. These altars are open. Maybe you want to come kneel and pray. If you'd like Brother Larry to pray with you, I'm here. I'll be glad to do so. Whatever God may be speaking to you, let God have his way. Give it to him, and he'll cast it as far as the east is from the west. He'll get rid of it if you'll let him. Father, speak to our hearts and show us the need that we have. And Father, give us the courage to come kneel and pray and ask you to forgive us. Share with Brother Larry, ask him to pray whatever their needs might be. Help us to have a heart that says, I forgive, and I forget. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Ernie, we're going to sing.